Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geek Steep. I'm Marika.
My name is Kelly.
Kelly, how you doing today?
I'm excited. This is your fandom pick, but let's be real, it could have easily been a both.
Absolutely, absolutely. It could be an everyone.
Also true.
I don't think I've ever met anyone who hates this fandom. I've met many people who are indifferent or who don't really get it, but I've never met anyone who's gone, no, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to talk about this. This is silly. This is stupid. This is an everyone fandom, but oh man, I'm really excited to get into this. I'm feeling weird today.
Is that a pun or are you like actually?
I'm genuinely feeling a little bit weird today. I don't know why. It's not a bad weird. I think we're back in the recording booth.
It's true.
Haven't done that in a while. I mean, we did it last week, but
yes, totally a week apart.
Absolutely.
Definitely not back-to-back recording.
Not back-to-back recordings. We're totally keeping the semblance of having taken a week off. It's good to be back, but I think it's weird. And, you know, we've done a lot of these at a distance over Zoom and just kind of getting my sea legs back and I'm feeling weird, but usually that would be a feeling I try to, you know, I get nervous about doing these recordings every single time. And I get nervous because I care. I care about, you know, executing it well and having a good time. But I usually try to, you know, quash that emotion and kind of get on with it and, you know, be professional. But I think feeling weird is absolutely, absolutely perfect for what we're about to do today.
Yeah, I think that's an emotion that, in this case, you can lean hard into.
Right, absolutely. So we're going to get weird with it. But before we do that, Kelly, what's in your cup?
I'm drinking a tea from Snarky Tea today. I think this is the first time we've featured this company on the podcast. It's called Peace and Love, Motherfucker.
I love the name.
And I picked it not necessarily because I think the flavor is the best pairing, but the whole vibe of the company, their naming scheme, not just with this tea, but with many of their teas, the idea of like a very tongue-in-cheek company that leans hard into the playfulness of marketing and the vulgarity of, and just how that's almost cacophonous against something that is usually considered quite soothing, like tea. It just felt like the right feeling and emotion for this fandom.
I have to agree. I think when I saw your Snarky Tea order, because, you know, it's not really a secret, most of your orders arrive at work, and I'm always so excited when I see a box for Kelly at reception, because I'm like, I'm gonna smell some fun things, you know? I love when a tea company leans hard into a persona. I really do. I dig it. I think that's one of the reasons that I've fallen in love so incredibly with Brutalities over the past, you know, year is not only does their tea taste amazing, but they've just leaned hard into who they are and what they love. And I love anybody who can unabashedly just be who they are authentically to themselves. And when I saw just the names of Snarky Teas, I thought this is another company that I'm at least invested in trying more than one tea. I haven't tried anything yet. I smelled everything. A lot of really intriguing stuff in that collection. But I love how they leaned into the names and the personification and they are who they are. It's just really, really cool.
And I mean, the tea is good. Like, it's this cup in particular is a green tea, which we all know is not really my favorite tea base, but that aside, the raspberry flavor is excellent. It's giving me very, like, rainbow sorbet kind of vibes.
Okay.
With that hint of, like, citrus. So, it's a really nice tea. I've enjoyed, I think, everything I've had from them so far, with the exception of one blend, which I didn't feel was bad. It just wasn't for me in terms of, like, style.
Right. And what's the subheader on this one? I can kind of see it. It's behind another tin right now, but
manifest that shit.
Like, I love that. So it's so trendy to be manifesting everything. And I love the, yeah, peace and love, motherfucker, manifest that shit. Just That's great. That's just so awesome. I love it. I have no idea what I'm drinking. I haven't even taken a sip yet because of the fandom we're doing today. I said, Kelly, pick a weird tea for me. And you were like, do you want to know the name or the flavor profile before I make you a cup? And I was like, no. So I'm about to take my first sip. Just to the nose. Is there a black pepper in this?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. So there's definitely black pepper. It's on a black tea base.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tasted it. It's got some citrus element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. What?
Did I deliver on weird?
Yeah. What? Okay, the black pepper is very pronounced. The black tea base has a nice body. The citrus is not orange.
Nope.
It's like pomelo or something.
Bingo.
Did I get it? Really? I know my shit. Occasionally I know my shit. Okay, would it? That's all I'm kind of... if there's anything else, it's a little too hidden for me.
So it's basil, black pepper,
basil,
pomelo, and a little bit of lemon, but mostly pomelo.
It's lovely. It's lovely because it's not overly pronounced. Okay, I love black pepper in a tea. Like, I'm not going to hide that. Basil, yeah, I was picking up like an herbaceous element. I didn't know if that was just the combination of black pepper and tea, because sometimes... not with black pepper, but actually with white pepper, I find that white pepper makes tea just like more herbaceous, like mm-hmm. more green. And so I didn't know if it was because of the type of black pepper, but the basil, now I understand it. So what is this? Who is this? What am I drinking?
So the name is Savory Basil Pomelo.
All right. We went for the super literal, like it.
Very literal. And this is from Tealira.
I really like this.
Me too. I am a big fan of herbs and tea. Basil, thyme, marjoram, cilantro even.
Mm-hmm.
I love when teas really, really tread that line of being like a savory drink. And I feel like this rides that line perfectly.
But it's not soup.
No.
Which is nice, because I find a lot of times savory teas lean way too hard in just, like, if I added chicken broth, mm-hmm. I'd have a soup at that point. But this feels like a really easy cup, like a really easy mug. I will be drinking this whole mug. I was concerned that you were going to give me something that I have three sips of, and I'm like, okay, that's weird, but I don't want to investigate further. But I do feel like this is going to be a very easy cup to finish and could potentially be something that I would add to a more or less regular rotation. Like, this isn't a first thing in the morning cup, certainly not, but I see it fitting very well into a afternoon cup, maybe evening cup situation.
I went through a lot of it, not this summer, but last summer in particular, I went through a ton of this, almost 100 grams, which for me is a lot.
Yeah.
But 100 grams for some is, you know, a regular monthly order.
Right.
I have a lot of teas. So when I revisit something frequently within a short time period, it's usually a quality or an indicator that something is hitting particularly strongly for me.
Yeah, because you told me right before recording that you're almost at 2,000. You're like 100 teas shy of 2,000 teas in your collection.
Yep.
And that's not even all the teas that you've drunk. That's just what you currently have stored in this room right now. So yeah, when you revisit something, that says something about the tea. Yeah, I could see myself very easily revisiting this tea.
It was a summer cold brew for me, for the most part. Mm. I went through a ton of it cold brewed.
Interesting. Weird, but interesting. Well, I think you did really well. Not that I would expect anything else from you. But, you know, let's talk about weird for a second. Because weird isn't always good.
It's true.
Weird is not necessarily good. I've had a lot of weird cups of tea in my life, but that doesn't mean that I want to keep drinking it or going for it. And it's hard to mesh quality with talent with weird. at the same time. And I've always had a deep, deep, deep appreciation for that, whether it's in tea, whether it's in fandoms, whether it's in people. Like, I prefer weird people. I prefer people who think outside the box. And I know that sounds so trite and so, like, I like people who are original. But, like, I do. I genuinely like people who are original. Even if their weird aspect is not something that I enjoy that much personally, I really like that when it comes out of people or teas or food or experiences. Weird is where I want to be.
I would agree with that.
And that's why today's fandom is going to be almost impossible to unpack, because if there is a supreme leader of weird, it is Weird Al Yankovic.
I wasn't surprised when you suggested this fandom, because of course you're a Weird Al fan. How can you not be? I feel like I know you well enough to
right. Just,
I could have made that assumption and felt confident in it. But I was delighted, because I feel like Weird Al is one of those things that one of those people.
Right.
He's a human. Yeah. You know? One of those people that everyone has a Weird Al phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you're like, you've grown out of it. You know, you get through that like patch of just being super, super into Weird Al. But then every time you hear a song, you know, wherever that might be, or run into someone who mentions it, it pulls you back in. I can tell you, over the last couple weeks, I've listened to more Weird Al music than I have over the last couple years, right. And I'm having a blast.
Yeah, he is not somebody that ends up in my rotation of music listening, but when he does, he stays there for about a month. It's about a month of just all I want to listen to is Weird Al, and it's because there's nothing else like him. You can't make a playlist of like Weird Al and friends, because not to say that there isn't comedy music out there. There's plenty of comedy music out there. There's no one quite like Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like with the Janelle Monáe episode that we did earlier this season and the John Williams episode that we did this season, we've each picked 3 Weird Al songs that each song we paired with a tea. Which was in of itself the most difficult thing I've ever had to do for Geeksteak. Picking your favorite Weird Al songs. He has hundreds of them. He has 14 albums. It's so hard to pick. But okay, before we get into our picks, let's do What the Geek, which is always strange when it's a person because it's just like the biography of a fellow human. But here we go. Alfred Matthew Weird Al Yankovic was born on October 23rd, 1959, and is an American singer, musician, songwriter, record producer, actor, and author. He is best known for creating comedy songs that make light of pop culture and often parody specific songs by contemporary musicians. He also performs original songs that are style pastiches of works of other acts, as well as polka medleys of several popular songs, most of which feature his trademark accordion. Since having a comedy song aired on the Dr. Demento radio show in 1976 at age 16, Yankovic has sold more than 12 million albums, recorded more than 150 parodies and original songs, and performed more than 1,000 live shows. His work has earned him 5 Grammy Awards and a further 11 nominations, 4 gold records, and 6 platinum records in the US. His first top 10 Billboard album, Straight Out of Linwood, and single White and Nerdy were both released in 2006, nearly 3 decades into his career. His latest album, Mandatory Fun, it's not actually his latest, it was because he has a movie that just came out, but his last non-movie related album, Mandatory Fun, was released in 2014, became his first number one album during its debut week. Yankovic's success comes in part from his effective use of music videos to further parody pop culture, the song's original artist, and the original music videos themselves, scenes for scenes in some cases. He directed later videos himself and went on to direct for other artists, including Ben Folds, Hanson, the Black Crowes, and the Presidents of the United States of America. With the decline of music television and the onset of social media, he used YouTube and other video sites to publish his videos. This strategy helped to boost sales of his later albums. He has stated that he may forego traditional albums in favor of timely release of singles from the 2010s onward. In addition to recording his albums, Yankovic wrote and starred in the films UHF and The Weird Al Yankovic Story, which released a few weeks ago, and the television series The Weird Al Show. He has also made guest appearances and performed voice acting on roles on many television shows and video web content, in addition to starring in Al TV specials on MTV. He has also written two children's books, When I Grow Up and My New Teacher and Me. Trying to pinpoint where Weird Al entered my life, Kelly, is like trying to remember being born. He was just always a part of my childhood. So I remember vividly seeing him do a takeover of Much Music sometime in the 80s. So for our American listeners, Much Music is our MTV here in Canada. And it always started the same way, where he would like kind of bound and gag a host on Much Music and take over for 24 hours. And it would just be Weird Al content all day. And the curly hair, the glasses, the tiny mustache, the Hawaiian shirts, the fake interviews with celebrities, the music parodies. You want to be a part of Weird Al's world. You really, really do. So he's been with me since I was born. He's an artist that I grew up with 100%. I mean, obviously for you, because you were born after me. So, but I don't know, was he a part of your childhood as much as he was of mine?
Based on what you described, I wouldn't say as heavily, but definitely was an artist that I was introduced to young. I can pinpoint the moment.
Ooh.
And I think it's going to kill you a little bit inside.
Okay.
But this was, his music was introduced to me by my dad, which in hindsight is hilarious because a lot of Weird Al's music content is very, very much like not aligned with many of my dad's values.
Right.
So funny in context, but it was The Saga Begins, which is nice. His parody of Star Wars, the episode one, which we've talked about before. Star Wars, you know, my dad is a Star Wars fan, has been for a long time, and so it makes sense that he would stumble across this parody. Also probably knew Weird Al from growing up himself. I also know that he has family that likes polka music, so maybe there's some overlap
right
there as well. And it was him showing me The Saga Begins, and then me and my brother afterwards proactively looking up more of his music on YouTube and just coming into this big spiral and learning all of his other songs that in hindsight my dad probably would not have been happy we were listening to.
Right.
And from there, you know, it just kept going. He just kept releasing music, and you know, you would fall out of keeping up to date with like what's going on in Weird Al's life, you know. Right. As I said, and then every now and then you'd hear like a new Weird Al single and you're like, okay, I'm back in the hole.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of his songs in the 80s, I think, appealed to me as a kid, because Eat It, which is the parody of Michael Jackson's Beat It, is silly and stupid and hilarious. And I don't know, it's the kind of song that appeals to a kid, I think. You know, it's the lyrics that really appeal to a kid. But the more you fall back into Weird Al, because I agree, years can pass without you listening to Weird Al, and then all of a sudden you're totally sucked back in. One thing that always struck me with him is weird doesn't mean uneducated. Weird doesn't mean ignorant. Weird doesn't mean silly for silly's sake necessarily. There's always a kind of, he's just in a class of his own. You know, he takes what he does very seriously, even though what he does is very, very silly.
Yeah, there's a point of view to almost everything he puts out.
Absolutely. And the more he's grown as an artist, and watching him grow as an artist is wild, because listening to his discography, so many of the songs that he parodies are made by artists that are controversial now, like Michael Jackson being definitely one of them.
R. Kelly.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting about the R. Kelly. Yes. Or Painful, you know, you hear Smells Like Nirvana and you're like, oh, Kurt Cobain, you know, he's outlived and outgrown and outpaced so many of the artists that he's parodied. And yet within the musical and comedy world, he's revered and respected because what he does is just so, so good.
There's so many layers to it. What he does is so good, but he also is, I think, one of the few parody artists I know that always explicitly asks for permission before parodying a song.
Yeah, which I think happened later on in his career. But yeah, he asks. He asks, like, I'm about to do this. Is that okay? There's a respect for the musicians that he's parodying. In some cases, not. There's a few outliers. But most of the time, he respects what they do. He has so many different genres that he's parodied, from grunge to rap to rock to hip-hop to... It's mind-blowing. He reminds me of Mel Brooks in that way, because Mel Brooks, you know, will obviously, I think of, you know, Blazing Saddles or Spaceballs or any, you know, the Robin Hood Men in Tights. If you parody something and you parody it effectively, a part of you has to understand it really, really well and also love it in a certain way really, really well. Like, Blazing Saddles would not be such a great movie if it wasn't absolutely dripping in cowboy aesthetics and cowboy movie tropes. Same goes for Spaceballs. And it's the same for Weird Al. It wouldn't work if he didn't understand how those songs that he's parodying were constructed. And so he is a kind of musical genius, aside from just being a lyrical genius, where he's like, rap songs or hip hop works because of this cadence. Disco works because of this cadence. And I don't know anything about music, let's be clear, aside from just being a listener. I've never studied music. I've said this before, but you listen to what he does and it is one of the highest forms of art. It really is. And Kelly, he's a rock star. He's a rock star. I saw him live a few years ago outdoors during the Montreal Jazz Festival, because of course it was during the Montreal Jazz Festival. It was a free concert in downtown Montreal with thousands of people, and it was honestly one of the best rock shows I've ever... That man was sweating and giving it his all, and his fans... Can we talk about the Weird Al fandom for a second?
Of course.
They're the sweetest, nicest, kindest, silliest, most loving people I've ever, ever met. To love Weird Al, I don't want to say is to be good, because that's such a blanket statement and you can't do that with thousands of people. But the love that was displayed during that concert was just unabashed and amazing. Amazing. He's just, I mean, I love him. I love him. I love him.
Peace and love, motherfucker.
Absolutely. So, as I said, picking these songs was... It took me a few weeks of going through his discography. And even up until yesterday when I was writing the outline, I still hadn't landed on my third song. Was it the same for you? Was it...
I knew one of my songs immediately. And then I had like a short list of three or four others. Thankfully, a couple on my short list you ended up picking.
Right.
And so I was like, great, they'll get covered. I'm content.
Right.
And then once like that was resolved, I also had to pick a third song. I'm really happy with what I landed on. I went back and forth between two songs pretty significantly, though. I know you wanted to briefly mention honorable mentions before we get into pairing. So I'll, I guess, start with the one that didn't make my list.
Right.
which is Like a Surgeon, which was one of the first ones I heard. I think it is such a peak example of just such fun for the sake of fun. We said, like, often there's a point of view, but sometimes it is just good wordplay.
Yeah, a lot of the times.
And Like a Surgeon is good wordplay. This is a kind of a known thing, but, like, I name our teas at David's Tea. Like, yeah. I do the naming list, and in, like, doing this episode and thinking about it, I really have to say, like, yes, I studied creative writing, mm-hmm. but I read a lot as a kid, but things like Weird Al parody artists, where you see that lyricism and the way they, like, flip things on the head, I think does influence a lot where that skill comes from.
Okay. I have to agree. I think I love when people look at life or, you know, expression and communication through the lens of a different prism, which is why I love comedy so much. I love funny people. I've never met anybody who's like, I don't like funny people, but I genuinely seek out funny people. They make my life better, not just because I have that visceral reaction that you can't control, which is just a laugh, which is one of the greatest emotions you can live. But to be funny means that you are flipping things on their head and looking at the world differently. And I think that's such a critical skill that a lot of people don't have, which is just looking at things from through a different light.
And quickly. It's a rapid response, right? You're not generally, unless you're like a stand-up comedian who has time to like plot out an entire show. But people who are funny in person rely heavily on quick ability to do that. So yes. There is a cleverness to it as well.
It feels quick in a Weird Al song, but I've actually read several interviews with him where it can take him up to 3 to 6 months to write a song. And I'm going to jump into my first pick because I think this was a interview he did with the New York Times maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And the song that took him the longest to write is actually my first pick, which is White and Nerdy. So yeah, for those of you that don't know White and Nerdy, it's kind of like his comeback song. It came out in the early 2000s. We hadn't really heard from him since Gangsta's Paradise parody in the late 90s. So we hadn't really heard from Weird Al in about 10 years. And White and Nerdy was a huge, huge song. And being the nerd that I am, there are so many lyrics in this song that resonated hard with me, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Hard. Like,
hard. I'm so glad you picked this one, too, because this was on my short list. Right. And as soon as you were like, I'm thinking of it, I was like, take it. Good. Yes.
It needs to be discussed. Someone
has to cover it.
So it's one of those crazy cases where I know the song that's being parodied. I don't remember the song, the original song. I think it was a one-hit wonder. Apologies to the artist that came out with the original song. I don't remember what this song is based on. It's something about rolling through, like, the hood in your car, I think. I don't care because he just crams as much nerdy stuff in there as possible. And is it easy for me to say that because he quotes Star Trek in it, it's probably one of my favorite songs ever? Yes. Yes. Much in the way that Adam Sandler's, you know, Hanukkah song quotes Star Trek to me makes it immortal. The fact that in this song he says, the only question I ever thought was hard was, do I like Kirk or do I like Picard? Immediately put it in Weird Al top 10 for all eternity for me. But the parallel of having, you know, quotes like, lyrics like, I can calculate pi to 1,000 digits with this like heavy hip hop, like gangster rap kind of song. It's so perfect. It's so perfect.
It's amazing. I feel like as I've gotten older, I've only appreciated it more because my intro to this song, it was one of my first Weird Al songs mm-hmm. back in, like, the early 2000s. So I was 9, 10.
Right.
Obviously resonated with it because I was a nerdy kid.
Right.
but I'm a nerdier adult.
So so it keeps growing on you.
It's like a fine wine. It ages beautifully.
So I paired... Okay, so my pairings, I just went for weird teas. I really did. I love really... it. I couldn't think of what white and nerdy should pair with. If I'd given it any real concrete thought, I would have tried to think of like a tea that like a white nerd would drink, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. So I went with Tesaurus's Angel, which is, let me tell you about a weird tea, okay? This thing really, really took me for a ride. And I love it. But the first time I had it, I did a double take to the point where my 2-year-old asked me what was wrong. Because I was sitting with her on the floor playing, I think, Jenga. And I took a first sip and I visibly like went, what is this? And she's like, Mama, what's wrong? And I was like, we're drinking something weird, girl. We're drinking, but it's okay. So it's a milk oolong with like strawberry flavoring and fennel.
Interesting.
And that first sip really takes you out of the moment. But the more you drink it, the more on board you are. And it kind of helped for White and Nerdy, because White and Nerdy starts with that boom, 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 you know, that kind of, you know, hip hoppy feel. And then it gets weird and then you absolutely sink into it. So it worked. It worked. I will say, though, it is impossible to drink tea whilst listening to Weird Al, because so many times yesterday I would be sipping while listening to the music and then almost spit up my tea because something so funny was said that I had forgotten. So maybe do it cold next time, because I did burn myself just a little bit. But it was worth it. It was worth it. That was my pairing for my first choice. What was your first choice out of three?
So the one I knew instantly that I was going to pick was Amish Paradise.
Because it has the greatest opening line of any song ever.
Yes. So... the first time I heard this, I had never heard Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, really?
I was 10.
Okay, right, you know? Okay, yeah. Okay. So
this was the intro for me, and it led me to discover Gangster's Paradise at a probably too young age.
Wow. Okay, because I obviously lived through, you know, Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer, and that soundtrack was the soundtrack mm-hmm. of the year. And the opening line of that song is, you know, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Gangsta Paradise opens. It's a really, really heavy song. And Amish Paradise opens with,
as I walk through the valley where I harvest my grains, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain.
Like, it's just like, that's it. That's it.
It's so solidly written. It's hilarious having the context of the parody. Like, what is the furthest thing from a gangster you could possibly think of?
An Amish farmer.
Yep. it's amazing delivery, and it is delivered with the same intensity yes. that Gangster's Paradise is, and that's what makes the song. The lyricism, brilliant. The music video, hilarious. But it's the seriousness and intensity just of the performance contrasted with the hilarity of the words, and it gets me every time.
That's what's crazy, yeah, because it was also on my list and we kind of like split it off, but you don't need to listen to the rest of the song, and the rest of the song is brilliant. The rest of the song continues to be brilliant, but it just opens so hard. He just sucker punches you with one lyric, and it's just, oh, the brilliance. How did you pair Amish Paradise?
I knew immediately what my tea was going to be. I wanted something that tastes like churned butter. Am I a terrible person
no,
for that?
That's perfect. That's perfect. So, it's ultimately a weird tea and fits perfectly with the song because he mentions churning butter.
So I picked Dessert by Deb's Japanese milk bread tea, which is a hojicha milk oolong base.
Okay.
And it does taste like slightly toasted bread slathered with butter.
That's pretty perfect. Well done. Well done.
I felt real proud of it.
You should. I really agree. I had no idea where you were going to go with that, and I really like it. It makes a lot of sense. Okay. My second choice is off of what I consider to be Weird Al's magnus opus, and that is his last album, Mandatory Fun. I feel like with a lot of Weird Al albums, there's always like two or three really good songs, but I rarely listen to an album from beginning to end. And Mandatory Fun, I have listened to from beginning to end maybe 100 times. And I could have done an entire episode of this podcast just on that album.
Can I say a thing?
No. No, of course.
I think it's one of my least favorite albums.
Really?
Now, there are a lot of really good songs on it. I know the song you're about to say.
Right.
And it's probably my favorite on the album.
Right.
But there's something about it, and I think maybe it's because the songs are so much more modern comparatively.
Maybe, yeah.
Where it just doesn't hit as hard for me as...
I would agree. No, I would agree because the... Like, Amish Paradise hits really, really hard, and it kind of doesn't matter what happened. White and Nerdy is the best album, is the best song off of, straight off of Linwood, but again, it has that heavy hit. Mandatory Fun, I find that it's got the highest percentage of excellent songs, but it doesn't have a sucker punch. So I'm really saying best album as opposed to best songs, but I agree with you. I do agree with you. But, like, I wanted to choose... 5 songs off that. Lame Claim to Fame has a line where he says, it's all about how you have a lame claim to fame, and has a line says, Paul Giamatti's plumber knows me by name. Like, I'm dead. It's so good. But the song I chose was Word Crimes, because not only, again, is it perfectly written, is it well-researched? Is it parodying a song that also has fallen off the face of the earth, which is that Robin Thicke song that shall not be mentioned? Blurred Lines, that's what it was. It's the first time I've ever heard Weird Al be genuinely frustrated by something. And I felt like I learned something about him where he has such a mastery of the English language that, yes, people misusing grammar or making mistakes or purposefully not saying things the way they should be said would ultimately genuinely frustrate him. And I thought it was almost like a window into the person that is Weird Al for the very first time, because he's able to hide behind his persona. He's able to hide behind his talent. We don't know much about Weird Al's personal life. He's married. He has a kid. End of list. And it was like kind of like the first glimpse of like, oh, as a person, Matthew Al Yankovic is annoyed by typos and bad grammar. And I love it.
I am also annoyed by typos and bad grammar. Like, I relate.
It doesn't annoy me as much, but I don't know. There was just something about the honesty behind it. So I'm trying to find one of my favorite lines. Okay, so here it is. Everybody wise up. Say you've got an IT followed by apostrophe S. Now, what does that mean? You would not use it's in this case as a possessive. It's a contraction. What's a contraction? Well, it's the shortening of a word or a group of words by the omission of a sound or a letter. It's exactly what it is. That's how I'm going to explain it to my children when they start spelling. And it's all within the perfectness of this pop song. Brilliant. I paired this with a tea that we have had before. I think we had this with Birdemic.
I think you're right.
Because that was another one where I was like, just give me something that doesn't make any sense. And I had it with Honey Peach Salsa by A Quarter to Tea. And it worked. It worked because it's a bright tea with a fun sub note of like pepper, of like chili. It just worked with the song, but I feel like Word Crimes will work with any tea. Honestly, I just think if you love the English language, Word Crimes will work with any tea.
It's a really solid song. I mean, it's nerdy in a way that targets me specifically in my annoyances, you know? Words have impact. The way you say things have impact. And people should think about it more. Right. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. I'm not as upset by it as you are, but I appreciate people who are. All right, what was your second song?
So I talked about it a little bit, but I had to pick The Saga Begins. Mm-hmm. It's a retelling of Star Wars Episode 1. There's a lot of misinformation around there about, like, the origins of how Weird Al wrote this song. Did he write it after the movie came out? Did he write it in advance? I believe someone can fact check me on this, but to the best of my knowledge, I believe he paid for an advance screening after having previously written based on rumors about what the movie was going to be about. He paid quite a significant amount of money to see the movie, took notes during the movie so he could go back and rewrite his song so that when it launched in tandem, it was a plot accurate summary of the events of the movie set to, of course, American Pie. Because it's a hilarious, hilarious song to choose. But for me, what really, really makes this, like, top-tier Weird Al is how he is able to succinctly, like, fit in all the plot points of this movie, make it funny, and still fit within the rhyme scheme of his chosen song.
I'm really happy you chose this song. It's definitely not the funniest Weird Al song out there.
But it's impressive.
It's deeply impressive, and it's incredibly heartwarming. I really like the song. I mean, it's, like you said, it's to the tune of American Pie. So it's really one of those sing-along kind of songs. I don't know. It's another one of those moments where I love when people love things. And even through the parody, you can tell how much he loves Star Wars. So I didn't hear that he paid for it. I heard that he had gone on the internet and tried to get spoilers about this movie because, again, you weren't alive when this happened, Kelly.
But, I know.
But the speculation about what The Phantom Menace was going to be about was a solid year of our lives. Just, we were all just looking at pictures from set and extrapolating and guessing and everything. And to have him, like you said, so succinctly put what is a kind of confusing movie into a song with such a heartwarming, like, song that it's actually based on. It's just love. It's a lot of love, and I love love.
Well, you can tell he's a Star Wars fan because he's parodied Star Wars like a half dozen or more times. He has a lot. He could have an album of Star Wars parodies.
For sure. Yoda being one of the greatest parodies of all time.
I don't know. Some of my favorite lines from this are like, his midichlorians were off the scale. Yeah. Because how the hell do you find a way to fit midichlorians into a song that makes sense contextually? Because fuck midichlorians.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes. 100%. Please continue.
It's just, it's so good. So I picked for my tea, Pink Tourmaline from Tea Gems.
Oh!
Tea Gems is a company that we discovered earlier this year because they blew up and went super, super viral on TikTok. And it is like tea sachets encased in a colored sugar coating to look like crystals. And even though this one is called Pink Tourmaline, it has a very purple appearance. It's a lavender Earl Grey flavor. Didn't really care about the flavor, I'll be honest. I picked it because of the aesthetic.
Yeah.
And the crystal-like aesthetic. And now I'm going to be nerdy for a moment. Because one of the things that I love the most about the Star Wars franchise, because I love symbolism, is how the kyber crystal that powers your lightsaber has meaning. So the color that you use has different symbolism within the Star Wars universe. And the purple kyber crystal, the most famous example being Mace Windu's lightsaber, which of course was purple. Purely because Samuel L. Jackson wanted a purple lightsaber.
Yeah, and if Samuel L. Jackson wants something, like, collectively as a species, we should just give it to him.
Like, just let him have it. But then they had to come up with a reason why everyone else had blue, red, or green, except for this one guy who had purple.
Yeah.
And the explanation is Jedis who wield a purple lightsaber, draw power from both the light and dark side of the Force, and they embrace and the balance of both and the fact both need to exist in order for the world to be harmonious. And if I had a lightsaber, it would be purple.
Well done, Kelly. Yeah, no, nice, nice. So it was more a pairing with Star Wars, which we can accept with Weird Al because it's a parody based on something. And yeah, Tea Gems is a really interesting new addition to the world of tea. Honestly, I've never seen anybody quite present tea in the way they have. I mean, we can unpack that like at another time, but it fits really, really well with the Star Wars Kyber Crystal. Well done. Very well done.
Thank you. What was your next song?
So hard. This was where I broke down and went down a rabbit hole and like wrote down songs and then erased the name and then wrote down another one. I picked Party in the CIA because it's based on Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA, which I think I've heard once. I don't know this. No shade on Miley Cyrus or anything like that. Oh, but
once is lucky. I was in high school when this song was big. I heard it a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I didn't really pay attention to it or hear it that much. But he just, I don't know. It's so funny to take such a heavy topic like the CIA and all the kind of horrible things that they do and or that we think they do and some of the things we know they do, talking about like destabilizing other countries and, you know, shredding important documents and only knowing things on a need to know basis. And it's all in there. Every single thing you know about the CIA on a pop culture level has found its way into this really upbeat poppy song where they're having fun at Langley. And the video is another one of those great Weird Al videos where it's almost a shot for shot remake of the Party in the USA video, which I've never seen, but it's just like a bunch of teenagers having fun.
On, like, trucks in the middle of a field.
Oh, is that what it is? Because yeah. The parody is so good of all these people in suits and ties in an office setting, but, like, with kind of strobe lighty effects and throwing papers up. And I know, based on Weird Al's video, what the original video must be, even though it's not happening in the same place. That's how good he is. And it's just another one of those fun play on words, but it's probably one of the songs that sticks in my head the most, that I get, like, I'll wake up and have Party in the CIA stuck in my head. And that's kind of why I chose it, because his songs are earworms. If you wake up with a Weird Al song in your head first thing in the morning, that is your day.
Yep,
that is it. You're gonna have that song in your head all day. And Party in the CIA is definitely, definitely one of them.
So how do you pair it?
Okay, so I chose Smoke on the Watermelon by Brutalities. Another very bizarre tea that is really nice. And I know I should probably be drinking it iced, but I never do. I only drink it hot. Having a hot watermelon in of itself is bizarre. But it works, and I like it. I don't know. Smoke, CIA, smoke bomb. I didn't overthink it, honestly.
That's fair. I can't say I'm a fan of this tea. I also own it. It's not one of my favorites, mm-hmm. but I could see why it would work.
It's one of those teas that I have to pair perfectly with the moment I'm in, or else it tanks really, really, really hard. Honestly, drinking it with Weird Al was the most I've ever enjoyed Smoke on the Watermelon, because when I tried it the first time as well, I was like, I'm not a huge watermelon tea person to begin with, and it wasn't smoky enough for me, but I know that's because I like a really smoky Lapsang. We've discussed this, and not everybody does, so I can appreciate the balance that they struck when they created this one, but maybe try it with some Weird Al. See what happens. I'd be fascinated to know if it tastes better with Weird Al, because it did to me.
I mean, I will definitely keep that in mind. I think the gunpowder in the tea is also like a fun accidental.
That's true. Yeah,
combo.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's true. All right, last song, last pick. What did you go for?
This was hard. Like I said, I ultimately came down to two songs. And the one I ended up picking was Canadian Idiot, which is just fun. I don't know. We are Canadian.
Yes.
If you didn't know that. Right. And it's kind of, it very much is like mocking Canadians, but in a really playful tongue-in-cheek way where it's like, oh, like, look at all of these problems Canada has. Actually, maybe they're not so terrible.
It's another thing. It's another time where I think as Canadians, we let's face it, we like it when Americans talk about us. It's a, you know, we're kind of ignored. Yeah. And we're kind of just like an afterthought in a lot of people's minds. At least it's how I think we feel on the globe, the world stage. It's always like, oh, Canada, like that country. We get dismissed a lot. And we're next to the largest superpower in the history of our species. It's not easy. It's not easy, you guys, living next to the biggest superpower, a pop cultural powerhouse, the most dominant country on the planet. Like, we always get kind of like we're the little brother that gets picked on, or like we're actually like the third cousin that gets picked on a lot of the times. So anytime like there's like an American reference to Canada, it's almost like, oh, hey, they're talking about us.
Mm-hmm. So this is one of the few Weird Al songs that when I was first introduced to it as a teen, where I actually knew the song it was parodying beforehand.
Right.
Which is American Idiot. Mm-hmm. I was a pop punk high school person. I feel like that track.
That does track. I see that.
Very much my genre. And so I had the context. And I think that made it funnier as a parody. Like, a lot of ways. When it came to pairing it, I didn't want to go the like cheap route of picking a maple tea.
Okay, I was so convinced that's what you were gonna say, and I was like, that feels like that's more of a thing I would do, where I'm like, I just picked a maple tea. Like,
it would have worked. It right. Absolutely would have worked, but it felt like low-hanging fruit.
Right.
And what I wanted was something that, yes, had some kind of nod to Canada, but it had to be bombastic and punchy enough and just, like, intense in flavor to match the kind of vocal style of a pop punk song.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense at all.
It's just hilarious because I don't think that a lot of people associate Canada with, like, bombastic.
No. You know?
Just not, absolutely, which is kind not. Of the point of the song, right?
But pop punk music is,
yeah, like, it for has sure, for sure.
Attitude, you know,
absolutely.
So I needed a tea that was Canadian but also had attitude, which like doesn't sound very Canadian.
It's so hard to find.
So what I ended up landing on was Snow Day from David's Tea.
Okay,
so Snow Day, the pun, I guess the connection point was everyone always assumes Canada is ice cold always. And, like, we get pretty cold. But we're not living in igloos like the song, you know, right, alludes yeah. to, right? Yes, there's snow that we can view from the window today. But it came, like, late, and it's, I don't know.
I mean, have we had people land in Canada in July? And it's like 80% of our population lives next to the U.S. border. So when we talk about Canada, we're certainly not talking about the entire, like, landmass that is Canada. We all kind of live down south. And I have seen people upset in July landing in Montreal when we're in, like, tank tops and hot pants. And they're like, where's the snow? And it's like, we don't have snow year-round. It's not everyone, but it has happened.
Yes. Our winters suck.
But our winters are terrible.
Winter is one of four seasons, yes. You know? So that was my connection point. But it's also like an aggressively sweet,
yes,
high, high flavor mint chocolate tea. So I felt like it had the level of intensity and unabashed, just full force, like, I am what I am, fucking accept me kind of attitude that a pop punk pairing needed.
Absolutely. Well chosen. Interesting choice. I feel like I have to go and steep that and see if it works for myself. Were you biased towards choosing this song because he's able to rhyme your home province, Saskatchewan, in it? Because that's very, in the same way that he was able to rhyme Metachlorians in The Saga Begins, Saskatchewan's not one of those easily rhymable words. Did you feel like you got a shout out, Kelly, and that's why you picked the song?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. When it comes to Americans making fun of Canada in, like, sitcoms, movies, TV,
right,
Saskatchewan gets picked on a lot. That's
true. I hadn't thought about that. It's because I'm always waiting for the French Canada joke. When there's an American parody of Canada, I'm always like, oh God, when are they gonna get to us in our ridiculous, like,
you know? I feel like it's always one of the two. It's French, right, Canada, Quebec, right, you know, that's the joke, or it's like, how the fuck do you pronounce Saskatchewan? Right. And so I've heard the Saskatchewan, it is impressive he could rhyme it.
Yes.
But the call out happens a lot where they just land on that one because they don't know how to say it.
Okay.
The other is like, I'm from Regina, Saskatchewan.
Right.
And that also gets, yes, this shout out a lot. The whole like catchphrase that's infamous is Regina, the town that rhymes with fun.
I've never heard that. Sorry. Sorry. I feel like I'm not allowed to laugh at that. Does that make sense? I'm sorry to any listeners in Regina. I've never been. I have no idea. But it just sounds, that sounds really mean. Whatever. I mean, French Canadians get picked on enough.
I don't know if it's mean so much as it is just dirty.
Right. But yeah. Oh, it's dirty. Oh, no. I just got it. Oh, no. I just got it. I thought it was like being mean. Like, oh, Regina is so much fun, but oh, okay, I get it. That's embarrassing and recorded for posterity. Fantastic. All right, so moving on, I do have some songs with honorable mentions. I'm not gonna put all of them here, but I just want to kind of play a silly game where I say some of my favorite songs and you try to tell me, based on the name alone, what the song is a parody of.
Ooh, okay.
So, first one up, one of my favorites, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi. It's
Pretty Fly for a White Guy,
well,
right?
Done, correct. Yes, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi.
I feel like this is also a test of, like, all right, Kelly, how much do you know older music?
Absolutely. It's a test of that. Some of them are easy. Some of them are going to be really hard. Like this next one, Bedrock Anthem.
I don't know if I know that one.
So it's the title is misleading because the title itself is not a parody of a song, but it's one of my favorites. It is based on the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Give It Away Now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's all about the Flintstones. And so it's, instead of Give It Away Now, it's Yabba Dabba Yabba Dabba Yabba Dabba Do Now.
I mean, that's clever.
It's really good.
Fun.
Okay, the next one is Gump.
Oh, I've heard the song. I'm blanking on the name, though.
It's based on a song by the presidents of the United States of America called Lump, but it is about Forrest Gump, which, again, it's another one of those times where he's able to just take something huge in pop culture and make it highly quotable. I mentioned this song earlier, Smells Like Nirvana.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
It's one of the greatest songs. Also,
it's got a great music video.
It's got a great music video. And it's about how no one understands what Smells Like Teen Spirit is about because the lyrics are indecipherable. So it's another one of those ways he's able to look at it through a prism. Okay, I'm going really old school with this one. I Think I'm a Clone Now.
I Think I'm Alone Now, right?
I Think We're Alone Now, right? We're, which is a Tiffany now song. But I Think I'm a Clone Now. Excellent. Well done. Living with a Hernia?
No.
Okay, when I tell you what this one is based on, it's so perfect. Living with a Hernia is, of course, a parody of James Brown's Living in America. So, based on how James Brown sings, kind of sounds like he's living with a hernia. Just the owls. It's great. And one of my favorite Weird Al songs, but it's very hard to tell what the song is a parody of because the lyrics of the song are completely different from the actual song. It's based on Foil.
Royals, right? By Lorde?
Absolutely. I've never seen such a 360 lyrically in a song ever because the first part of Foil talks about him using foil to wrap up his leftovers, and the second one talks about him using foil as a hat to protect himself from like
the Illuminati. It's all about conspiracy theories, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I just, again, speaks to how brilliant Weird Al is. Great. Kelly, why hasn't anyone else been able to parody quite like Weird Al?
I don't know. There are so many great comedic artists, but I feel like they never last, right? I don't know if you're familiar, like, with The Lonely Island. Yes. Love The Lonely Island.
Love The Lonely Island, yeah.
Dropped off the face of the earth.
Well, they've gone and done other things.
Yeah, but no one, like, sticks it out long enough to get to Weird Al status, you know?
Agreed. And Lonely Island, they're parodying... Wow, that is a hard word. Lonely Island is parodying a genre and not necessarily, like, always a direct song. Weird Al has proven that culturally we have an appetite for this. Culturally it resonates. You can make money off of this. You can have live shows. You can have a huge following. This is a huge fandom. I don't know anybody else parodying popular songs successfully. I know a lot, like you say, I know comedy music, but it feels like, is he so good at it that everyone just kind of quits while they're ahead? Or you're always going to be compared to him? Because this is a man who's had a 40 to 50 year career in music. To even reach the stratosphere of where he is would take, you know, another 30 years. Do people just quit before they're ahead?
I think they must.
Right? It's gotta be.
I mean, if any of our listeners know other, like, parody artists in the same kind of vein as Weird Al, let us know.
Please do.
I would love to explore that more, but I can't think of any others.
I can think of comedians who do great songs. I mean, Adam Sandler, Lonely Island, Dennis Leary's got a few rippers. You know, there's no shortage of funny songs out there. But yeah, to your point, listeners, if you know anybody who does this regularly, please let me know. Because if not, is he some kind of bizarre Mozart savant? Is this the situation that we have here? Like, I need to know. So, I mean, do we really need to get into Restock, Resteep?
No, I mean, obviously, I think for both of us, it's going to be one of those things where we'll hit a dry patch of Weird Al and, yes. You know, whenever he next releases some new music, which he should do soon.
Yeah. He did, right? It's just,
with the movie, but...
And we can't get this movie in Canada, so please tell us if it's good or not. I've tried everything to get this movie. It's free in the States, but it's not free here yet, and so I'm sure it's excellent. But yes, he needs to release another album. Come on!
There are so many songs just ripe for the picking.
Yes! So much. I mean, anything popular right now. I've never heard his take on Drake. And I'm not a Drake fan, which is probably why I'm itching for it. But just, you know, Doja Cat or...
I'd love to see like a Weird Al style cover of Bad Guy by Billie Eilish.
Yes! Oh my god, that is a song made for him. Yes.
Watermelon Sugar would be like so easy to... Or anything Harry Styles, but...
Yes, yes, Weird Al, where are you?
Take the pop culture music, flip it.
Flip it. Do it. We need it. We need it so desperately. Oh, well, I had an absolutely delightful time talking about Weird Al. I kind of wish all fandoms could be this way. But again, he's totally unique and there's nothing quite like him. So we'll just have to move on to whatever's next on our list next time.
So no spoiler for the fandom. We'll keep it vague. But we will say this will be the last fandom episode of season 2, And then we'll have our holiday wrap-ups and a brief, a lot of stress,
brief
pause before season 3. So we'll see you next week for kind of the finale.
Basically, have a great week, everyone, and, you know, keep it weird.
Bye.